I'm a kind of a guy that's a 5P guy.
Okay.
Proper planning prevents poor performance.
Okay.
So I plan ahead. If I was gonna have my ICE car, mm-hmm. I'd plan ahead. Where am I gonna stop for the night?
Okay.
You know, what time do I wanna leave to get there at a reasonable time? What time do I wanna leave? You know, so there's, and which route are you gonna take?
Right.
And you know, what's the best way to get there? So I'd probably spend 10, 12 minutes doing that for an ICE car.
Yeah.
Well, for the Bolt, I went to ABRP, a better route planner, and it was out and it had it done in 10 minutes, so I reviewed it, went through, and you know, just by the time I went through everything, it was probably 15 minutes.
Welcome to MTE's Plugged In podcast. This podcast focuses on the world of electric vehicles. We combine expert interviews and personal stories to educate and inform listeners about electric vehicles. So whether you're an early adopter who has been driving an EV for years or you're just starting your research, this podcast is for you.
Hello, I'm Brandon Wagner.
And I'm Amy Byers, and welcome to Middle Tennessee Electric's Plugged In podcast. Today, Brandon and I are excited to welcome Tom Buckton to the podcast. Tom is a member of the EV Car Club, and he also recently took a 2,500-mile trip over 7 days to New York in his Hyundai Ioniq 5. So, Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And before we get to talking about your trip, we want to hear a little bit about yourself. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
The biggest part about it is I'm a retired U.S. Navy chief electronics technician. That's probably what got me into it, because I worked on high-power long-range radar systems, air traffic control, radar equipment, both ship and shore station. Navigation equipment and communications equipment. So involved in that was some electric motors. When I retired from the Navy, what brought me to Tennessee was to come up here to work for Bridgestone, and I was the senior buyer and store room manager, and we had a number of DC motors. And Brandon, you might want this for your Sprite. Mm-hmm. We had a nice little motor that was pretty powerful. It was a 4,000 horsepower DC motor.
Okay.
Had to push
yeah.
Push
yeah.
A little bit big, though.
A little bit.
Yeah. So I've been around electric motors for a while, so I understand the torque and power that comes with them. After I retired, because I moved to a Del Webb community, found that if I stopped working, I could have a lot more fun. So let's use that. Since retiring, my wife and I have been doing a lot of traveling, both by car and a lot by ship. We cruise a lot.
Cool.
And part of that travel bit is both of us, my English wife and I, have put our little feet down in all 50 states. And I have completed, as of last January, officially circumnavigating the globe. Then we'll hip sail around the world.
Wow.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
You're kind of making me a little tired, though, all that traveling.
Goodness.
Well, we're going to talk at length about the Ioniq 5. But before we get there, this is not your first EV. This is your
number two
EV. So tell us a little bit about, just in general, your experience as an EV driver.
When I got the Bolt, it was my first one. Mm-hmm. I wanted the Ioniq 5. Mm-hmm. Hyundai did not want to send them to anywhere but 10 states.
Mm-hmm.
And the research through my friends at my dealership found out that the reason they did that was because they get tax incentives for selling them in those states. They didn't get them in Tennessee.
Okay.
So it was an economic decision on their part, which bothered me because I wanted the car.
Yeah.
My ICE car was starting to cost more money than I was, you know, it was that point. That,
right.
At some point with a car, you'd say, okay, you're spending more to repair it than it's worth, so it's time to go. So let's jump into the EV world. I looked at a Tesla, a Model 3, and I looked at the Chevy Bolt. And as I told Brandon, for $20,000 more for the Tesla, I could have gotten less range and less cargo space, so I bought the Bolt. Loved it. It was a great car. I enjoyed it. Some of the things that are not as enjoyable, I guess the way to put it, is if you want the nav system, you've got to buy into OnStar.
Mm-hmm.
the Scottish nature in me came out, and I said, I'm not paying you money for something that I've gotten for free in every other car I've owned. So that was out. And the also 50 kilowatt charging rate. Didn't realize how important that was going to be until we took the first trip to Rochester, which was a, was it 1,700 mile round trip. It was a quick up and quick back.
Yeah.
And because I'm the smartest man in the world, I always seem to make these trips in the winter. So we ended up going charging at least twice on this trip in the snow. So that was effective. And the Bolt has a resistive heating system, which sucked the juice.
Sure.
So we didn't have the heater on much. We used the seat heaters primarily and kept our winter coats on.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like driving in a coat, but
yeah.
Otherwise it's freeze. And then, but enjoyed it. And then Hyundai said, okay, we're going to start selling the IONIQ 5 in Tennessee. Yeah. So I said, okay, I wanted the limited version of it because that it had the toys on it. That, you know, guys need toys. I like toys. So it had the features on it that I wanted. And I waited 18 months to get the IONIQ 5. And boy, am I glad I did.
Yeah.
It's just so much better car.
So between the Bolt and the IONIQ 5, was there a size difference in the car? Because it seems like those Bolts are kind of small, like the Leafs are kind of small. Mm-hmm. Bolt's about the same. Is this IONIQ 5 a little roomier? Do you have a little bit more trunk space, or is it about the same?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big guy, and I fit a lot better in the IONIQ 5 than I did the Bolt. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
I'm a golfer, so I can put my clubs across the back of the IONIQ 5, I couldn't in the Bolt.
Yeah.
So I had to lower a seat and put my clubs in straight up and down, which always was a terrible hardship for me. But I survived it.
Yeah.
And things like that. But it's just a lot more comfortable. There's features on the IONIQ, again, 3 years newer, and much more advanced and pretty much every category.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with it.
There.
I'm not going anywhere with it. Just stay with me.
Yeah.
Besides that, if I try to get rid of it, my wife would kill me.
Nothing your wife ever.
So now when you go on a long trip like this, you know, I want to compare the IONIQ 5 and the Bolt, but first, we've had some car club members that they get a little nervous about how to plan for a trip, a long trip. How do you approach that?
Okay, first of all, I'm a kind of a guy that's a 5P guy.
Okay.
Proper planning prevents poor performance.
Okay.
So I plan ahead. If I was going to have my ICE car, mm-hmm. I plan ahead. Where am I going to stop for the night?
Okay.
You know, what time do I want to leave to get there at a reasonable time? What time do I want to leave? You know, so this, and which route are you going to take?
Right.
And what's the best way to get there? So I probably spend 10, 12 minutes doing that for an ICE car.
Yeah.
Well, for the Bolt, I went to ABRP,
okay.
A better route planner, and it was out and it had it done in 10 minutes. So I reviewed it, went through, and you know, just by the time I went through everything, it was probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then for the IONIQ, because the Hyundai and Electrify America had a deal, I get free charging for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm going to get free charging going up. So I just planned it stop to stop to stop. And I did that stop by stop going up and factored in what range I thought I'd get.
Right.
And then went stop to stop. And of course, the best laid plans of mice and men. This is the result. Is a few editorials as we go.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was just planned it out and go like that.
Okay.
The Bolt, we were doing fine. ABRP was great. Again, first, I think it was 3 stops were right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took me to an L2 charger.
Okay.
Well, if I'm on a trip, I don't want an L2 charger and sit there for hours.
Yeah.
So I had to adjust. And then from that point on, we went stop to stop to stop planning. You know, with a 45-minute charge time, we had plenty of time to figure out where we're going to go, where do we want to stop, and just work it out stop by stop while we're sitting there waiting for, you know, having lunch, dinner, and everything else while we're waiting.
Yeah.
So that was plenty of time, too. No problem there.
Okay. Well, I have not heard of a better route planner, so I just learned something. That's a website, I guess?
It's a website, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And
What was the website again?
A Better Route Planner. And it's abrp.com.
Oh, abrp.com. Okay. Yep. We'll try to link those in the show notes.
Yep. Yeah. And so I didn't even use that this time.
Okay.
But to plan my, with the ILEC, to plan the hotel stops, I used PlugShare to find hotels that had chargers.
Okay.
But L2 chargers. So that worked out well.
So continuing along that line, you told us a little bit about what it was like in the Bolt with the resistive heating and having to wear your coat. How does that compare and contrast with the Ioniq 5 on that same route?
Well, we're on a whole different plane.
Apples and oranges, huh?
Apples and well, first of all, I put in Echo mode.
Okay.
And I keep reading that, you know, people, when you're on the highway, you reduce your resistive, your regenerative braking.
Okay.
And I found when I was in Echo mode, it didn't matter whether I was in regen level 0 or 1, or if I was in regen level 3, my mileage didn't change much.
Oh.
So really, and now maybe that's because I was using the cruise control all the time.
Okay.
But that was just the season.
Yeah, and what does that primarily do? Does it just reduce your speed that you're driving? Or?
No. If you make your regen 0,
okay.
When you come off the accelerator, you're going to coast.
It just coasts.
It's like putting your race car in neutral.
Okay.
Level 1, it'll slow you down a little bit. About the way, if you come off the gas in a nice car,
yeah,
it's going to slow down.
Okay.
About the same. Level 2 gives you a little bit more, and then level 3, it's
going to try to regen as much as it
can. Yeah, it's going to slow you down pretty quickly.
Okay.
And I've got the opportunity to go to iPedal with my car. The problem with that is it forces me into all-wheel drive.
Okay.
Which then sucks more fuel.
Okay.
So I don't typically use that, and it's got a paddle on the steering wheel that I just pull that in, and it takes me to my max, so it's the same as being in one pedal joint.
Okay.
And it'll bring me to a stop going down a hill.
Okay.
But taking this up, the plan I did, we nailed it. First two stops, on the money.
Right.
You know, first stop was Louisville, and I went up the back roads, which I had planned to rent, because I hate interstates. The wonderful places that didn't play A to B. Mm-hmm. But I've seen all the trees and warehouses that I want to see. Yeah. And that's what you see on the interstate. And then I turned right at Louisville to go to Cincinnati. And really from that point on, there were no reasonable off-the-highway routes for me to take.
Okay.
That wouldn't have added significant time difference. Okay. The difference from home in Mount Juliet to Louisville, whether I took the highway or the byway, was about 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because you're going up, it was all 65.
Yeah.
I was going up through Kentucky.
Yeah.
So you're slipping along, whereas on the interstate, you'd have been 70.
Right.
And I think it was about a 15-minute off-the-highway route to get to the charger.
Okay.
Because the charger was between two exits.
Yeah, okay.
So, but anyway. And then a funny thing happened when I turned north out of Cincinnati. Mother Nature said hello.
Yeah.
The temperature had been going up the whole time.
Okay.
That was great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then the winds came. And we were facing 20 to 30 mile an hour steady winds. And she, just for fun, she threw in 50 mile an hour gusts. And at one point I was watching and I saw the trees off to my left blow over. And they haven't got leaves on them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're just blowing the sticks and leaning the trees, it's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the semi in front of me change lanes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wanted to change lanes, but he changed lanes. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So that was significant. And that impacted everything.
Sure.
And that caused the first change in my program.
Exactly.
Because when I started hitting that headwind, I was using more fuel, using more trons to get me where I'm going.
Right.
And the car said, hey, you're not going to get to your next stop. Where do you want me to take you?
Mm.
So it gave me, I think it was 6 different options on fast chargers to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked the one that was free. If I had to do it over again, I would have taken the one that wasn't free because it was right next to the interstate, whereas the other one was off of it.
Okay.
So that was just, but it didn't affect me. I was just 15 minutes out of the way trip.
Right.
No hardship. I just would have done it differently. And then the rest of the trip up was right on the money. And in Pennsylvania, from Ohio state line to New York state line, I said, I know the lake's there. Let me get off the highway and go look at it.
Yeah.
So I went off the highway and looked at it. Man, I couldn't see it because the trees were in the way. So I said, well, okay, I might as well get back on the interstate. So I waited until I got to New York and got back, got on the interstate. Okay. And they just called me, you know, at one of the stops, I'm texting my daughter saying, what time do you want me to be there?
Yeah.
And said, okay, best bet is going to be to just hit the Chargers and go.
Okay.
It was good.
So now, you know, I've heard stories sometimes that in the cold weather, the DC fast chargers, they don't perform well, or they lock up, or they're frozen, the dispenser frozen. Do you have any issues with any of that?
Absolutely not. On the DC fast chargers, I ran into one that was offline.
Okay.
So I had to move my car.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nobody else there. So
the same station, just not that.
Same, yeah, just said, okay. I did go this. The one here wasn't working, the one there was.
Okay.
So I needed to move my car enough to get that cable over.
And what temperatures are we talking about? Like, how cold was it when...
From my first night stop to the time I started coming back down and hit Pennsylvania again, the temperature never got above 25.
Okay. Cool. So we're talking cold. A little chilly.
We're talking cold. Probably affected it, but not that much.
Okay.
I chose to charge to 90% for a couple of reasons. Number one is to give me that a little bit extra. But also, I read one not long ago that the guy said, I don't worry about the range of my car because the range of the car is more than the range of me.
Mm.
I have to stop before the car does. And same with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd charge it, get up, go to the toilet, buy a drink or something, a snack or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I get back, the car's ready to go.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, at one stop, there were three ID4s pulled up. And I pulled in between two gray ones.
Okay.
And they were standing outside. I said, can I crash a Volkswagen party here? And he said, no, your color's the same, so it's okay. You can stay. Well, I went in, went to hand, toilet, drink, and a snack. It was a breakfast sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And before I finished that breakfast sandwich, the car said, hey, dummy, come get me. So I went out and I pulled out. As I'm pulling out, one of the ID4s pulled out just in front of me. And then I pulled out. The other two ID4s were still sitting there. So that's how much quicker that Ionic charges.
Yeah.
That 800 volt and 350 mm-hmm. kilowatt charging system really works well.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it probably affected it.
But not significantly.
I wouldn't, I'm not at all disappointed with my charging times from what I did. You know, some of them went into the 20 minutes range,
mm-hmm.
25. I'd say I probably averaged between 20 and 25 minutes per stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, we're going to 90% and two or three times I went to 100%
mm-hmm.
simply because I was doing other things.
Sure.
So like when talking to my wife, I thought that was more important than stopping at 80%.
That's right.
So hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a good trip. Going across from Rochester to Albany, from going to see my daughter. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention it. She sings in rock and roll bands.
Okay.
So I went to see her twice.
Yeah.
And I'm coming away from the first one. It's snowing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably ended up with 1.5, 2 inches on the ground.
Okay.
So I just kept it in the gecko mode. Didn't go to the snow mode. Mm-hmm. Everything worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm two-wheel drive, except for when you start the first 18, 19 miles an hour, you're staying four-wheel drive.
Okay.
And then it drops out to two-wheel drive. No issues.
Okay.
Second night, she's a little more serious, so we're probably, by the time I left, we were probably above 2 inches of snow.
Okay.
And still coming hard. So you and I had talked before about snow mode.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, let me put it in snow mode.
Sure.
Put it in snow mode. And again, I'm dealing with some hills, not many, but they're hills. It's flat, like, even flatter than Tennessee out there.
Okay.
So we're not talking anything significant.
Yeah.
And put it in snow mode and it just walked. Because then it's forced into four-wheel drive. Reduces the torque that's generated.
Okay.
You're the engineer, not me. You probably know how it does that. takes regenerative braking down to level one and won't let me change it.
Oh, okay.
So it stays in regen level one.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting the hard slow down when the when it, you come off the accelerator.
Yeah, okay.
And driving a four-wheel drive car, it was great. Right. And yeah, so that was
a big, heavy one, too.
Yeah. But coming back, as I say, going across the thruway, going from Rochester to my brother's house, I'm going along the thruway. Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to me, my son and his family are coming from visiting friends in Canada. They're riding the same road at the same time I am, and his Lightning.
Oh, okay.
So we got talking when I went to see him, and his Lightning, and the winds that we were facing on that part of the trip, mm-hmm. Mother played with us a lot on this trip. he averaged 1.1 miles per kilowatt hour.
Wow.
In his Lightning, because big front end, flat front end, four people in the car, in the truck.
Sure.
Some luggage, I don't know how much, but some.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting 1.1. Wow. And at the same point, I was getting about 2.6, 2.7. So,
wow.
I'm figuring probably the cold cut me down about 15%.
Yeah, sure.
Would be my guess. Because I think if I'm in the warm weather, I get about 3.2, 3.3 on the interstate.
Yeah.
And I was getting 2.6, 2.7. So,
okay.
You're the mathematician, you can figure it out. But I think it was about 15%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one thing, talking about the Chargers, just to look back at your boat trip with this trip.
Okay, I'm in pain now.
How did you notice that there were significantly more Chargers this trip than there was that first trip, or about the same, or? You may have been going different places, so we're not comparing apples to apples.
We're talking the same route.
Yeah.
I would say more Chargers based on pulling up websites to find things.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more options available. One of the big things is Pilot Flying J is in the midst of a program of installing 2,000 charging units in 500 locations. Mm-hmm. So you've got those hitting in. Mm-hmm. And I found several bows along the way that obviously weren't there when the ball was around.
Okay.
The stop that I got pulled off, got called up short in Ohio, when I pulled up, there were six or seven options for the DC fast chargers, and I don't believe I had that option for Columbus when I went through the first time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say that there are considerably more DCFC chargers out there now.
Well, that's good. That's very optimistic news for travelers. So
I say I had one that was offline.
Okay.
I think it said offline for maintenance, but I can't remember that well.
Yeah.
And the only other charger issue I had was where I was staying at my brother's house, the chargers in his town, L2 chargers in his town, were at a sports facility. So we pulled up to the one at the baseball field.
Okay.
Well, nobody's playing baseball in 25-degree weather.
Sure.
So they had turned that one off. So I just had to go to the next field, and that one was turned on. So I don't know if it was turned off for maintenance or what, but there was no power to it.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, it was 100 yards down the road.
Yeah.
So it was no hardship. I mean, four choices.
Right.
But it just, okay, I hadn't seen that one before. We just turned it off.
Yeah.
So I have one more thing before you leave. We'll end on this. We had a chance to talk to you before you went on your trip. We knew we were going to do this podcast. So we asked you, as you were going along the trip, to keep in mind when things happen and think, oh, this would be a good thing to tell other club members about or to talk about on the podcast. So let's talk about if you had any of those moments that, maybe something would happen and you thought this is good information to share.
I guess the biggest thing is that I got better. I'll call it fuel economy because my fuel is electricity instead of gas.
Sure.
Better fuel economy than I expected. I got more miles per kilowatt hour than I expected. Again, my experience was a resistance heater, which just sucked it dry. That heat pump heater was much more efficient. The Ionic has a sunroof, so I opened that up, and that was more effective than I expected to be in the cold on a sunny day because it doesn't. The glass doesn't open, it just opens up a shade and now gives me a solar panel, if you will, solar heating. That did well. I never had to wait. That was something that surprised me.
Yeah.
And the only place that I saw anybody waiting was that one stop with being the ID4s. Okay. When I pulled out, Lucent pulled into my spot.
Okay.
So that was the only one that I saw anybody waiting in any of the Charger stops. So the availability was there. There were times where other Chargers were being used. There were a couple times where I would have liked to have had the 350 kilowatt Charger.
Sure.
They were in use, so I had to use a 150. Mm-hmm. All heartbreak. It took a little bit longer. I expected more cold effect in charging. Mm-hmm. Probably was there, but I would say I averaged probably in the one, when I was on the 350 charge, probably about 170, 180. Mm-hmm. At one point, I did notice it was up above 200 kilowatts. Okay. per hour charge. So I'm very happy with that in that kind of weather.
Yeah.
The snow didn't affect the car. Yeah. Just as you say, heavy car, and then when putting it into four-wheel drive certainly helped, but that wasn't it. I did find that the using the battery preconditioning, I didn't think about how much of an effect would that.
Right.
Apparently it did, because when I used that, the charge rate went up. So having that facility, I don't know if all cars have it, but I'm sure that's going to be more common.
Think so.
I mean, the Bolt didn't.
Right.
The Bolt had a steering wheel and a radio, basically. But, that certainly did help. But my proudest point of this is my son, who has the Lightning, and his wife has a Mach-E, took my car out, and he let him drive it, and he took it out, and he was impressed.
Yeah.
So if I can impress him, and you may appreciate this, he's an aerospace engineer designing submarines.
Oh, wow.
Yep, that's what he does for a living. So it was a good trip.
We
really enjoyed it. Car performed everything I could possibly have asked from it. It did.
One thing you said before we started recording and I feel like this is a good note to end on, because I think everything we've talked about this kind of goes back to this statement. The statement when you came in here today, you told me, one thing I want everyone to know is this whole thing about I'm not buying an EV because I'm just, the range anxiety is too much for me. You've blown that out of the water. People cannot use that as an excuse anymore. And I feel like everything we've talked about kind of ties in to that, because you didn't have that. It was not an issue.
Right. Certainly not. Now, I also did a trip to St. Augustine, Florida. Mm-hmm. And that one I used, again, the Electrify America points. And that one I did not have to alter one bit. I did it in October, so it's warm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the car was in its happy mode.
Yeah.
And the only time I used an app to look for anything was I used PlugShare when we were down there for the week, just to find places to charge while I was there.
Yeah.
Because the Electrify America was 40 miles up the road from where I was.
Yeah, dang.
Range anxiety should not be an issue. It is so easy to find places to charge, and I didn't even look for L2 charges except for hotels.
And Tom, I just want to say, when we started the EV Car Club, we were hoping to make a social community where people would share their experiences. And that way it would be an encouragement to folks who are on the fence. This podcast obviously does that. But also, you're always a big encourager of the car club. Every time we have an event, you're there. And I have seen you build friendships with other members of the car club. And I want to say thank you personally, because that was sort of our vision for the club. And it's not going to happen without people like you. So thank you for investing in it.
You're welcome.
And
if I can,
sure.
Before you came, I was talking to Amy. I'm going to do a talk in my community,
clubhouse,
about the facts and fictions of EVs.
Yeah.
So if you know any organizations that would like to have me come and talk to them, I'll be more than happy to do it.
That sounds great. And if anybody out there listening, would like to have you come talk, if you can just contact us at evcarclub@mte.com, then we will link you with them. So, certainly a good resource for our members. So, Tom, thank you again for coming. This has been very informative. We've really enjoyed it. And thanks to all the listeners out there today. If you have any questions about MTE's EV Ready program, the Knight FlexRaid, or anything EV related, please email us at evcarclub@mte.com. And for more information on MTE's Drive EV programs or the EV Car Club, please visit driveev.com or email us at evcarclub@mte.com. Until next time, plug in, power up, and drive safe.
If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review. Also, we would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas of topics you would like for us to discuss, please email us at driveev@mte.com. Thanks for listening.